Well, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Whew, that was a good way to be able to start a Sunday, wasn't it? That worship was just fantastic. Thank you so much to Mike and the rest of the worship team that were up there. I just love being able to praise God with each and every single one of you. Hey, a couple things before we get going into the rest of the service, I just want to be able to touch base on, and that's this. This coming Saturday, so December 3rd, this is for all of the ladies that are here today. There's man, it is a big blowout Christmas ornament decoration thing that the ladies have going on. I want to tell you, if there's one thing, if you're a lady here, if you're part of Focus 314, you don't want to miss this Saturday night. It is fantastic. They have such a great time. If you want to have more information about it, I want to encourage you to go out to our connections table, which you'll see it has community group sign, a service opportunity sign. Right out that table, there's a place that you could put down your email, phone number. There's going to be somebody who will get in contact with you about it. It's going to be just a wonderful time. We were actually out yesterday. We had to go outside. Did anybody do Black Friday shopping? Anybody? Like, no, you just went. There are a couple of brave hands. How many of you guys went on Thanksgiving Day? Oh, you're a sinner. That's what you are. Don't you know that you're not supposed to do that on Thanksgiving Day? Goodness gracious. And it's one of our pastors. Good example for that there, Pastor James. He was looking for a TV. He didn't even find one. That's because God was watching out for you right there. That's what it was. I love it. I love it. Absolutely. It's fantastic. But hey, we went out to Black Friday shop just to get an ornament for this thing for my wife. That's what we went out for. So I want to encourage all the ladies, make sure that you are part of this coming Saturday. It's going to be great. It's kind of a kickoff to the Christmas season. And just to kind of give you a heads up, what does the Christmas season look like schedule-wise for our church? So on the 11th of December, during the 11:15 service, all those kids, how many of y'all got kids in this place? They have been practicing for 2 months. They've been practicing all the way since October. There's going to be the kids special where they're like, everybody's going to be like, oh my goodness. The grandparents are going to be taking pictures, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be happening during the second service on the 11th. But for all the parents that are here, you got to be here for two services because the kids are going to practice during the 9:30 service. So you want to make sure that you're here for that. But then 11:15, it's going to be like the cute bomb is going to explode up on stage, you know, like it's going to just be cuteness all over the place. And you just hope, like how many of you parents, you just hope that your kid's not the one that just sits there and does spins, right? Like you hope that there's one kid that does it, but you don't want it to be yours. Like that's my prayer, you know, like please just stay nice this time, please, you know, but it's going to be fantastic. I want to encourage you to be part of that. And then on Christmas Eve, so Saturday, December 24th, yeah, it's amazing how that happens, you know, the 24th. Christmas Eve, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service from 5 to 6 o'clock. You want to make sure that you're part of that. It's going to be a very nice time. We're going to sing some carols. It's going to be wonderful. And then on Christmas Day, which is a Sunday, typically we have church on Sunday. There's no church on Christmas Day. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service, and then we want you to spend time with your family. We'll have a little video that will be posted online that you can watch, have some devotions, celebrate, all that kind of stuff. But man, we want you to be with your family and enjoy that day. So no Christmas Day service. Everybody got that? Christmas Eve, 5 to 6, Christmas Day, no service. It's going to be fantastic. We want you to be part of it. As always, we have community groups that are happening all the time. I want to encourage you to be part of community group. I'm sure that they have plenty of Christmas parties for your community group that are going to be part of that. And then another thing that we always do at our church, if you are new or newer to our church, we want to encourage you to be part of Growth Track, which happens during our 11:15 service every single Sunday. And it's a chance for you to be able to know more about our church, why we do, what we do, how we do it. We want to be able to answer those questions for you. We want to encourage you to be part of Growth Track, which happens every single Sunday during our 11:15 service. Ushers, you want to be able to come on down. Now's the time that we have a chance to bring our tithe and to give our offering to God. And it's just a wonderful time for us to be able to continue in our worship towards our God. Let's pray for the offering. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We praise you and we thank you for the blessings that you have given us. And God, I pray that you will bless this offering. Use it, Lord Jesus, to further your kingdom so that individuals who don't know you today will know you tomorrow. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Well, good morning and welcome to Focus 314. I'm Darren and I'm one of the pastors here. And I just wanted to be able to say I'm excited about this series that we have going on here. This is a brand new series that we have just for the Christmas season. And I'm just excited about it. In fact, we get the title of this series from the verse that you just heard in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, which says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." This is going to be such a wonderful time of the year for us, and we want to be able to come to worship him. Now, one of the reasons why we're going through this series is that for myself as a pastor, that I'm kind of a person who I want to be able to see outcome. Anybody believe in outcomes? Like if I do something, I want it to be for a purpose. And so I look at outcomes. I look at the state of our church and where we're at a lot of times. And for myself, I look at our church and I'm so happy to be part of this church. And I think that we're doing a lot of things very well. And even some of the concepts for our people, for our church, that we're grasping hold of these things, these biblical concepts, that we live in freedom, that we live in joy and peace. And I think that it's amazing to see that. Like the way that our kids are going is just, it's amazing to see the growth inside some of your children, inside of my children. And I just love it. I'm excited about where we're as a church. But there are a couple of things in a couple of areas where I think that we truly could step up a little bit. Where we need some encouragement, where we need to be able to realize, hey, God has more in store for us than where we are right now. And one of those areas, I believe, is this, is worshiping God. I truly believe that as a church, as individuals, part of the church, and myself included, that we need to become more of a worshiper towards God. And I'm not talking about just even on Sunday morning while songs are being sung. That's part of it. I'm talking about 7 days a week. What does your life look like? Do you worship God on a consistent basis? Or are there areas in our life that we become overwhelmed in and our focus turns towards those situations and issues of life instead of worshiping our God through those situations and issues that we have? And so I want to encourage us, and my hope is that we will become worshipers of God by the end of this series. And then going into 2017, when somebody asks, what is it that helps define Focus 314, that you might be able to answer, you know, this is a place that's just full of worshipers. Man, I don't know what it is, but that church, dude, they worship God on an amazing level. That's what I hope for our church. That's what I hope for each and every single one of us. But I realize this, I realize that it's a difficult concept maybe for us to understand in Western culture because we've really become inundated with this thought. And the thought is this, is that God was created for me. It's all about me and my pursuit of happiness that's why God is there. That if I do the right thing at the right time, if I say the right prayer, then man, God's got to come through for me, right? Like, I went to church, so then why is this bad thing happening? I was doing the right thing. Man, I even put a Focus 314 sticker in the back of my car. Why is God not coming through for me, right? Which is a good thing. I think you should be able to do that, right? I'll tell you what, this is what that sticker is going to help you with. It's going to help you with your road rage more than anything else because you're going to remember that sticker's back there, and you're like, well, I better not flip that person off right now, right? Like, that's what it's a good thing for that right there. But we think that God was created for us. And let me tell you something. This is the big takeaway that we have for this entire series. God was not created for us, but you are created to worship God. That is the sole reason why you were created. What is our purpose here on earth? To know him and to make him known. We need to be able to begin to worship God on a whole nother level. If there's one thing that you get going into 2017, why am I here? What was I created for? It is to worship God. And so what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks going into the Christmas season is that we're going to look at different ways that Scripture shows us that we truly can worship God. Because if we have this attitude that we are here to worship God, man, it should change our attitude. We should become experts in worshiping God. We should become excited about worshiping God, that it's a whole new outlook for us. And so what we want to do for these next 4 weeks is give you those tools. How can I worship God? Well, let's look at Scripture and let's figure that out. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to look at some individuals today, and we're going to see how they worship God, starting in verse 1 that we just read this earlier. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi, and that's who we're going to look at today. We're going to look at these Magi. So for some of us, when we look at the manger scene, we don't think Magi, it's the wise men, the three wise men. Everybody familiar with that? Like, that's the Magi, or in other words, the wise men. They came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now let's jump forward to verse 9. After they had heard the king, remember just in verse 1 and 2 that it's King Herod. And what they did is when they traveled from the east, they went to King Herod and they asked about who was going to be this future king. And King Herod, he was actually really nervous because he's king. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, you should become and worshiping me. I am the king. Who's this future king that you're talking about? And so Herod actually told him, he said, hey, yeah, he had a little plan. He said, yeah, sure, go ahead, find this person that you're looking for, and then come tell me, because I want to worship him as well. Yeah, that's not what he was going to do. He wanted to go kill this future king and be able to get rid of it because he was all about himself and the power that he could control. So after they had heard the king, they went on their way. Now, it's really easy for us to just, so many times, man, there's so much depth in Scripture, and we just read right over it, don't we? Like, so many of us have heard this. We grew up in Western culture where maybe before, how many of you, like, you're opening presents on Christmas Day when you were a kid, and your parents were like, no, we have to read the Christmas story before we open presents. And you're like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. There's a present right there. We got to listen. Anybody grow up that way? I grew up that way, and I'm thankful for it. But goodness gracious, I was an impatient little kid, you know, like, let's get on with the presents. But we read over this, and we don't think anything about it. But what's interesting is that these Magi, they traveled all the way from Persia, which is modern-day Iran. They traveled over 900 miles to be able to see this future king. 900 miles they were crossing, which, man, they didn't have Delta back then, you know? Like, 900 miles is a long time for them to be able to travel. Let's put this into perspective for us, that if we wanted to say we're going to go hike someplace for 900 miles, we could go hike to Mount Rushmore. Anybody want to go on a hike with me for Christmas? Like, that's what they did, is they went 900 miles on camels, on donkeys, on horses, all sorts of different stuff to be able to see this future king. They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Let's go to verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. We're going to pause right here on that word, overjoyed. This word right here is going to help us set up our entire series. This is a word right here that, again, it doesn't really translate so well for us into English. So if you're reading the Bible, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and the New Testament is written in Greek. And the Greek word for overjoyed really gets lost in translation, because overjoyed doesn't really do it justice. You know, some translations will say they rejoice with exceedingly great joy. And it doesn't do it justice at all. Really what this means, if we wanted to translate the Greek word, it would mean that it is a huge, ginormous, humongous joy. I might have added a couple of words in there. But it is this compounding joy that they had. Like, for example, it would be saying, like, I'm so happy right now. In fact, I am so happy right now that I'm happy about being happy. And then somebody comes up and they see how happy you are, and they're like, man, I'm so happy to see you happy about being happy. And then you respond, that makes me even more happy to see that you're happy about me being happy about being happy. Like, it's this compounding atmosphere of joy. It is an overjoy that compounds itself. This is how they were reacting. So, like, for me, I'm trying to think of an example of what this would look like. And this is something that is very trivial to some, but for some people, this is a significant moment for us that just happened. And that's the Cubs winning the World Series. Like, for some of you, you're like, I could care less. And for some of you, you're like, I do not want to even talk about that. That was just horrible. Like, but really, even where you are, even if you thought it was an insignificant moment, you saw pictures of people who were overjoyed, didn't you? Like, you saw people crying and partying, and like, it was just chaos in the streets. You saw people waiting their entire lifetime, like fathers and sons and whole families. Like, you saw pictures of people going to grave sites, right? And being able to place like Cubs stuff on the grave of individuals who wanted to see this thing happen because they were anticipating the day that the Cubs could win the World Series, right? That's nothing compared to this. Like, multiply that times 10, times 100, times 1,000. The people were waiting for this moment, and they were overjoyed by it. That's the attitude that we need to have as Christians, that we understand what God has done for us, that he has saved us, that he has given us his grace and his mercy and his love, that we can live in freedom. Come on, somebody say freedom up in this place. That we can live in freedom as a free gift, a totally free gift. And we are overjoyed. Why do we want to be able to worship God? Oh my goodness, I can't even begin to explain it to you. Like, how much he has done for my life. Like, where I was in the trash, on the way to destruction, with destructive habits, with destructive relationships, and he raised me up out of that. He saved me, he washed me clean, and now I get to be able to live a life that is truly life. Why do I walk around like this? Because I am overjoyed by what he has done in my life. Can I get an amen on that? Now, here's the problem, and man, this drives me crazy. I'm not even playing around. Like, it drives me bonkers when I see Christians who are walking around not overjoyed, but completely underjoyed, don't we? Like, you go around and you see these people, and you're like, don't you understand what Jesus has done for you? But they are completely underjoyed. That's not even a word, is it? But it's true. But it is, that's what it is. That's just what describes people, is that they're underjoyed. You know, you're walking in and you're like, you know, okay, I might be going to church, but I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm not going to be happy. In fact, I'm going to make sure everybody around me knows that I'm not happy about it. That song was way too loud. I'm not happy about that song at all. You know, and you're going to nitpick every little bit of this. You know what, Pastor? I'm not happy about being here. I'm going to tell you what you said wrong. You know, like that one little moment, because I'm making sure. And, you know, and you're walking around like with this sourpuss face on you, and it's like ridiculous. Don't you understand what Jesus has done for you? You get to walk around in that joy. And I understand that there are circumstances that we live with. I understand that there are situations and tough times. But we get to understand that, man, our God doesn't care about what's necessarily right here. He gave us eternity. That we get to live and we get to look forward to that. Sure, he's watching out for us right here. But man, we get to look forward to eternity with him. And we get to walk around in joy. He is so good for us. And to be able to have this, maybe you do have joy in your life. But you need to tell your face about it, okay? Like, let your face know that you're living in joy. Let some people know that you have some joy inside of your life. Right? We want to be able to have some fun. We need to be able to live like we are living life, and not like life is just handing us just this nastiness over and over again. Man, we have Jesus inside of us. It has changed us, and we need to be able to live this way. He is so good and so great, and I just want to be able to shout it out because I have exceeding great joy inside of me. I am overjoyed, and I can't be able to hide that. I don't want to be able to let that in. We need to be able to live this way, not live in this underjoyed moment and let this world just drag us down. He has made us a victor. We don't need to walk around as victims anymore. Man, you are a child of the living God. He wants to be able to look out for you. He's got your back at all times. He works things out for those who love and trust him and knows that you are called according to his purpose. That is the life that he has for you. We need to be able to stand. People need to look at us and be able to understand what we stand for, not what we stand against. We need to be able to fight. We need to be able to fight for love. We need to be able to fight for injustice. We need to be able to fight for life. When people see us, that they see us full of joy. Can you get with me on this? This is where we want our church to be. We want to be able to walk into this place worshiping God, smiling, overjoyed every single day of our life. That's what we have. We need to be able to live in this joy. How did the Magi do that? We're going to look at a couple things really quickly. How did the Magi, how did they express their joy? Go ahead to verse 11. Oh, the very first one is this. They went to his house. That's how he did it. They went to his house. How did they express their joy? They went to his house. Go to verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They went to his house. Now, this is something that is so important for us to understand. So the Magi, yeah, I said earlier that they were in Persia. How do we know that they were in Persia? We don't know because Scripture doesn't exactly tell us. But tradition says, and history shows us, that the group of individuals known as the Magi, that they congregated in Persia. That there were these astronomers and astrologers who were studying the stars and trying to figure out what life was all about. And that's how we know that they were from that Persian area, is because that's where that group was really at, the Magi. That's where we get the word magician from as well. So they were in this area. They're looking up at the stars. They were intent. They had an intention on looking at the stars because they were seeking something. Well, why do people who aren't Christians, why do people who aren't Christians go to church? I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, tradition. Tradition. Like you might not go to church throughout the year, but Christmas time is here or Easter's here, and that's just what you do, right? Like tradition dictates that I go to church on those days. Why is another reason why, if you're not a Christian, that you go to church? Parents, right? Parents force you to. Like, man, church is going on. You're going to be there. I don't care what's going on. You're at church. That was me growing up. Like, we had church growing up. We had church three times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. And we were there no matter what, you know? Like, we opened the place and we shut it down, you know? And I'm like, I just want to go home. I'm so tired. Like, my parents didn't play around. Like, we go on vacation, we're finding a church to go to even on vacation, you know? And that's how it was. And we just were there. Parents make us go to church. What's another reason why Christians, non-Christians go to church? They're seeking something. They're seeking something. There's something about their life that they're just like, what's the purpose of life? What is going on? And I truly believe that in each and every single human being, that there's an innate desire for us to seek and find God. And so they're seeking something. And that's where we see the Magi at this point. They were looking at the stars, seeking something. We got to be able to have a place where people who are seeking God can find him. So that's what it looks like for us. They went to his house. How do you worship God? They went to his house. They came to church, to the house of God. How does that principle play out for us? It's found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. It says, remember the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is a holy day of rest. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the Sabbath, or the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. See, even God, you know the story of creation, that he created the entire universe in 6 days, in a poetic sense that the scripture wrote it, and then on the seventh day, he rested. And God put that principle for us, that we have 6 days to do our work, and on the seventh, we rest and we give it to God. And our society works out really well that we work 5 days a week. The normal work week is Friday to, or Monday to Friday. And then we have a day that we work at our house on Saturday. And then we have a day, Sunday, dedicated to rest and to worship our God. That's what it's all about. They went to his house, basically meaning they went to church. They went to his house. This is the house of the Lord. This is where he resides, where we can come together and we can worship him. They went to his house. I get excited about that. I get excited about coming to church. In fact, one of my favorite passages is found in Psalms. Psalms 122, 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to church today. I was overjoyed when they said, let's go to Focus 314 today. I was overjoyed when they said, Focus 314 has two services, so you can come to the early service and still hit the Cardinals game afterwards, right? Like, I was loving life when I got to come to church. That we get to be a place where people are overjoyed. There are two prayers, and those of you that have come to our church on a regular basis, you hear me say this. There are two prayers that I have for every single Sunday. Number one is this, is that this is going to be a church that we're going to have fun in. I want to be able to have some fun on Sunday morning, you know, and be able to joke around with each other and have fun and see people laughing. And why? Why do we pray that we can have fun? Just to be selfish? No. I pray that it's fun so that this can be a place that's full of joy. That you can come in as, maybe you woke up on the wrong side of the bed and you need to be able to come to a place where you are re-energized, where you can leave full of joy, where you can say, man, you know what? I wasn't feeling it, but man, I'm leaving here. I'm excited about today. I'm ready to tackle this week. I am full of joy. There was a person that came up to me and they encouraged me. Man, they stirred inside of me something that realized I need to be living in joy. That's why I pray that we have fun in this place. I pray that we have fun, and I also pray that this can be a place that is full of the power and the presence of God. Because individuals who are seeking God, just like the Magi were, that there's a hole inside of your heart. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you come into this place and you're wondering, what is this whole Christian thing about? Maybe God has something for my life, and I truly believe that it is there and that you are experiencing the power and the presence of God. You didn't even know how to explain it. Man, there's just something during worship that was stirring inside of you, and you thought, man, either these guys are really good or I don't know, but you just felt something, and that is the power and the presence of God stirring inside of you, understanding that this is a place for you to experience him and to be able to say yes to relationship with Jesus. We want to be a church that people say, man, I'm excited about coming to church today. I'm ready to go to church. It's going to be full of fun. We're going to sing great songs, and it's okay message, you know, but you know, it's just going to be a place where I'm going to leave full of joy. That's what we want to be as a church. And I'm not talking about saying like, oh, you got to be at church every single Sunday. You better be here. And if you're not here, you better expect to get a call from one of the pastors. Hey, excuse me, why were you not filled? Why weren't you at church this week? You better have a good reason, because last time it was not a good reason, you know? You're going to hell if you don't come to church. Come on, man. We live in freedom up in this place, right? We live in freedom that nobody's going to be. We might call you just to check in on you. We want to see how you're doing, you know. But we're not calling you to rag on you and be able to put a guilt trip on you or anything like that. That's not what it's about. But what I'm talking about is, where's your priority? Where's your priority at? That you are excited to be in church. That you have somebody say to you, hey, how about we go do this and that? And you think to yourself, no, I don't want to. I don't want to miss church. Man, I just kind of got on Phil and Jessica a little bit. Let me tell you about this man. Dude, they were just in Seattle. They flew in last night, and he was up here this morning at 7 o'clock setting up signs. And he said, there's no way I'm missing church. That's a man that's excited about being in church. He's overjoyed by what God has done inside of his life. We have a priority that's set in place. But yeah, go on vacation and have fun. You don't even have to go to church when you're on vacation like my parents made me do. But you understand where your priority is. You understand where your true blessing comes from, the life that God has for you, and you are living the life that truly is life. Man, you're excited about being in church. Don't listen to those individuals who, you know what, I can worship God wherever I want to be able to go. Guess what? Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not forsake. Don't go away from gathering with each other, as some are ought to do, even in today's day and age. We need to be around individuals. We need to be around each other so that we can build each other up, so that we aren't living the way that the world does, but we are living the way that Scripture teaches us to live. We want to be around each other. How do we worship God? We need to come to His house. The Magi went to His house. We need to make sure our priority is being in God's house. Anybody with me this morning? That's good stuff right there. I love coming to church. I get excited. Sunday's my favorite day of the week. I'm overjoyed to be around each and every single one of you. Be in the power and the presence of God this morning. How did the Magi worship? They went to His house. The second thing they did is this. They gave Him gifts. They gave Him gifts. Yes, we're going to talk about giving for a moment. Those of you that come to our church, you're going to be like, didn't we just talk about giving? Oh, my goodness, we just got out. Those of you that are new to our church, like, oh, great, we come to church and they're talking about money all the time. That's not what it's about. We're not even going to go into all in-depth about giving. We just went through a series on that. But what I want you to do for a moment is I want you to begin to think about giving to God as an act of worship. It's not something that Scripture just tells us to do. It is an act of worship. Show the rest of Matthew 2:11 on there. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. What's interesting is that, how many of you guys know, like, the nativity scene, you know, the manger, you got Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the little barn behind him, you got some animals, and like if it gets real crazy, they'll throw in some shepherds, an angel, you know, and then they'll put the three wise men, right? Like, you guys know what I'm talking about, the three wise men. They've even got songs about the three wise men, right? But Scripture doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. Like I said, even about Persia, that's just tradition because we know the area where they come from. But Scripture doesn't say, hey, they came from Persia. It says they came from the east, you know? And so we understand that we don't know how many wise men were actually at this place. In fact, they saw the star when Jesus was born, and then they traveled to him. It takes a while to get 900 miles at that time. They weren't there that night. It was probably like 2 years later. And we say 2 years later because King Herod said, hey, we need to kill all of the children, all of the male boys, 2 years and younger. Like, he was ready to get rid of this dude, you know? And so 2 years. So it probably took him a while to be able to get there. But we just put him there because it seems nice. It's a nice part of the story. But we know this. We know that there were three gifts. There were gold, there was frankincense, and there was myrrh. Now, a lot has been talked about and about what these gifts truly meant. The gold could represent the kingly attribute of Christ, that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The frankincense can be attributed to Him being the high priest because they used incense during the priestly acts, and so it could represent that He is our high priest. And that the myrrh, they used myrrh during a burial times. And so that they say that it could represent that He was born to die for our sins. Now, I don't know if any of that is absolute truth. Here's what we know for sure. It sure does sound nice, though, doesn't it? Right? But here's what we know about these gifts. They were extremely valuable. That these magi, these wise men, they weren't bringing junk. They weren't bringing their leftovers. They were bringing their first and their best to God. This was an act of worship for them. We talked about this, that we need to be strategic in the way that we give to God. And they were strategic because they saw the star. They were on their way. They brought their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh with them. But we've got to be able to see this as a true act of worship. You know, for some of you right now, like I can even see as we're looking around that they were talking about giving and talking about being an act of worship. And some of you in here, man, you get it because I see your eyes. And you know, your eyes are lighting up and you're shaking your head. And you're like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's how I feel inside of myself when I'm giving to God, that it is worship. And some of you, you know, I can look around and also see some of you that don't necessarily get it. And you're sitting there like, I can't believe that we are talking about giving again. And I get that because that's how I used to be. That's where I was at. Okay, Pastor, we get it, you know. We're supposed to give. All right, let's get on with it. I want to be able to go get something to eat later on. And here's the reason why I felt that way. Because I wasn't a giver. Because I didn't have generosity inside of myself. It was all about me and my selfishness. But God changed me. And he did something inside of my heart where he turned me into a giver. And all of a sudden, I want to be generous. I want to be willing to share. And I got to tell you now, man, I don't listen to a whole lot of messages and sermons. I listen to quite a few of them on podcasts and read sermons. But the ones that I read the most are sermons on giving and generosity. Man, I eat that stuff up. I love it. I love that because I want that to be more of my life. In fact, I love being around generous people. I love being around generous people. Now, I was at lunch just this past week with a couple of guys from church, and we're fighting over who's going to pay the check, you know? And I love that. I won, you know, and I'm happy about that because I'm like, yeah, because I love being around generous people. It's so much fun. There's a couple in a church, and we'll go out to eat with them, and he and I, we got to be sneaky about who's going to pay the bill. Like, I'll have to say, I need to use the restroom, and I don't have to use the restroom, but I'm going to find the server, and I'm paying for the bill before they bring the check. I got to be sneaky about it, and I love it because it's being around generous people. Why? Because generous people understand that love gives. The most famous verse that we have in Scripture, you don't even have to be a Christian. You just watch TV, and you see John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. Love gives. Love gives. God is a giver. We worship him by bringing our gifts as an act of worship. He didn't give gold to us. He didn't give frankincense or myrrh to us. He gave us something much more valuable. He gave us his son. He gave us the greatest gift ever imagined because love gives. God is a giver. We need to have generosity inside of our hearts and understand that love gives. When I bring my tithe and I give my offering, it is a true act of worship. Thank you, Jesus, for the blessings that you have given me. And I pray that you will use them to bless other people. Let it overflow from me to the rest of the world, to those around me. Let it overflow. Let it overflow. And I understand that it can be difficult. I've been there. I haven't always been a generous person. I understand what that's like. But let me encourage you with this. In Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Even when it comes to your checking account, your savings, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And don't just look at numbers and trust them. Trust in the Lord. In all your ways, submit to him. And when you do that, he's going to make your path straight. Continue on. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body, nourishment to your bones. And then we're going to wrap up with this one right here. Worship team, if you want to come up. Honor the Lord with your wealth. That word honor right there. That word honor also means worship. Worship the Lord with your wealth. It means praise him. Praise the Lord with your wealth. It's difficult. I understand that. If you're not naturally a giver, that there's something that God can do inside of you to change that. to help you understand that he wants you to live a life that truly is life. Just as Pastor Jonathan said today, that even as a church, we don't want to be a church with just a closed fist, that it's all about just us in this building. It's about so much more than that. And we want to have an open hand, that God can bless other churches, that God can bless other communities. We want to have an open hand for our lives when it comes to our finances, that we are wise about it, but we understand that this isn't about me. It's not about what I have to hold on to. Man, it's about God blessing me so that I can bless others. I'm going to give to you, God. I want to be able to worship you, and I'm going to do it with an open hand. Now, here's the thing that's great about this, is that when we have an open hand, it allows somebody else to put something in our hand. When you have a closed fist and when you're holding on and you're gripping on to everything, that God can't put anything in there. There's no blessings you can't grasp a hold of. But when you have an open hand, man, he can put that in there. Go ahead and put that verse back up there. When you honor the Lord with your first fruits, which means that your very first part of what you have, that you give it to God in an act of worship, then your barns will be filled with overflowing. It's going to be filled. Because you have an open hand, willing to worship God. It's not about me. God, this is about you. I want to praise you. I want to worship you. Your vats will brim with new wine. We want to be able to be a church that worships God with our whole heart. We don't hold anything back. We come into this place and we are overjoyed. We are overjoyed with the fact that we have the opportunity to worship God. I want to ask you today to go ahead and stand. I pray that there's something inside of your heart that can shift to understand that this life is not about me. It's not about what I can get. It's about me worshiping God. I have come to this place to worship Him. I have an opportunity to get excited about coming to a house to be able to worship God. That I have an opportunity to be overjoyed about being generous and living the life that God wants me to be able to live. And maybe you've come in this place and you don't understand what that joy is. And you're like, man, what is this dude? He's all hyped up. He's jumping around. And you're like, what is going on? Man, maybe you've never experienced Jesus before the way that I have. And I want to encourage you today that if there's something that is going on inside of your heart, you simply have to do this. It's so easy to receive the gift of grace. You just say yes to a relationship with Jesus. What does this life look like? You just say yes. And today you can have that opportunity to just say yes. I want to encourage you today. We've come to this place. I want to pray that your heart has been stirred and you have been encouraged to be overjoyed. We're going to wrap things up and we're going to sing. We want to be able to sing our songs of praise and be overjoyed and let Him know that we are singing because what He has done inside of our life. To begin to have this attitude, I want to ask you to just be able to close your eyes. That you don't have to worry about anybody around you. That you just close your eyes and you just get to be able to think inside of your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, that it brings a smile to your face because what He has done inside of your life. Thank you, Jesus, that I am overjoyed. I have come into this place to be able to worship Him. Let's go ahead and sing together. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. Come on, church. Be overjoyed and let them know it. Let them know it today. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done inside of my life, inside of the life of this church, Lord. And I pray that we can take this moment, this idea of being overjoyed, to understand that we are worshipers of you. And not just leave it here today, Lord God, but take it with us throughout the week, that we can truly live an overjoyed life, that we can be worshipers of you, Lord Jesus. I pray that your name will be on our lips every single day this week, Lord God. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God is good, isn't he, church? God is good. He truly is. I'll tell you what, I want to pray. Our prayer teams.